welcome to the EE blog from the Education Enhancement Team at the University of Sussex. AI, Accessibility and Achievement, in conversation with Dan Axon, published on the 3rd of October, 2024. I'm very happy to welcome Dan Axon, Learning Technologies Manager in the Educational Enhancement Team here at Sussex. Welcome, Dan.
Hi, Simon.
So it's the start of a new academic year, and the theme of this episode is looking forward. But before we do that, I think it's important to look back at the previous year. What were some of the highlights for you last year?
Well, that's a really tough question. Because last year felt like it's just passed by in about a day. But lots happened. For me, the highlights have absolutely been seeing our team do what they do best and support each other. It sounds really cheesy and corny, but it's absolutely true. We've had a really challenging number of months for different reasons, external factors, internal factors, staffing, the usual stuff. But the way they rally around and support each other is exceptional. And it makes me feel really good. Seeing that, but also makes me feel better about the decisions of hiring that I've made. Yeah. but I think a couple of things spring to mind. One is they're a relatively new team still to the university, and universities do have very complex processes to get to grips with, but they're all pretty much experts in that now. How they've responded to changes in the technological environment around us, artificial intelligence being one, has been remarkable. And their personal and professional development as well over the year. Some of them doing, PG Cert, for example, over the year as well as their day jobs. So I think the team has been the highlight of the year. Like I say, it sounds cheesy to say, but it's easily the top one.
When you say it's a relatively new team, I mean, it did exist before as TEL.
Right? Sure. What I mean by that is the people in it are relatively new. So sort of the last two and a bit years, most of the team have been with us. We had a bit of a refresh a couple of years ago through retirements, promotions and so on. And, they hit the ground running back then, but they're just going strength to strength. And I think, they're a team of very passionate, interested, caring people who have nothing but support and each other's backs when they need it most. And it's great to see.
It's really lovely. And I think that the talking about AI, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but yeah. The AI community of practice, I think, was I think, a really strong way to approach that and to sort of grab the hot potato and run with it, if I may mix a metaphor.
Yeah, you're right. I think with the AI community of practice, and that was spun up and led predominantly by Sam, our colleague in academic development, and certainly we're going to be more involved in that. But what that highlights really is, despite the day-to-day stuff of a learning technologist role or a team such as ours, Educational Enhancement, we get involved in some of the really mundane runnings of a university as well. But it's really important to remember that one of our core functions is to essentially assess what's out there, make sense of it, and help people understand it. In fact, I wrote a blog post, little plug on this, a little while ago about likening us to noise-cancelling headphones.
Yes.
But the idea that we can help bring a community around something that's quite frightening to many academics and many people, and help understand it and, get into the weeds on ethical and sustainable use, but also what does this mean for me as a teacher? What's the day-to-day going to look like with using AI? And my students are all going to cheat, aren't they? What about them? You know, and helping people talk to each other and understand, actually, we're all a bit new to this. Let's explore it together and it's okay. So, that's been a bit of a highlight, seeing that, develop over the last year. And I can't wait to see what that brings in the coming year.
So what projects do we as in EE, have in the pipeline, and how do you see them playing out this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. So one of my real sort of soapbox things is digital accessibility. And when it comes to our virtual learning environment, Canvas, we're doing a big project this year around the templates for modules. When we first got Canvas, it was the Wild West. Every module site was slightly different. And students very quickly said, we want something more consistent. We want an environment that's, consistent, but also accessible, easy to use, navigable, all that stuff. And then web accessibility legislation came in, not dissimilar time, a couple of years later, a year later or so, and made some of this stuff obligatory, up front rather than reactive in terms of accessibility and design. And we've tried to make sure that our templates are consistent with that. And we're in a position now where many schools have templates, they're all slightly different, but there are still some inconsistencies. And, you get students who are doing maybe electives or dual honours or something, and, they buttons aren't quite in the same place, or some websites have the scroll of doom on a mobile phone and things like that. And we have to accept that, student population changes what they view their module sites on and how they view it. So a big project this year is going to be looking at how we consolidate how we approach templates to improve it, primarily for the student experience and those with particularly, the students on the margins with digital accessibility needs or other access needs, but also easier for staff in terms of updating, because, anything we can do to reduce admin of teaching and learning is good to give people more space for teaching and learning, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I find the digital accessibility, I don't enter into it too much in my role, but for example, making sure that you've always got alt text on images, I find that quite a nice exercise to go through, because what it does is it asks you implicitly, what is the purpose of this image? Yeah. Are you just sticking something in to make it look pretty, or does it actually have a function? And can you distill that function down to a sentence or two? And I find, and that's something, a real positive that's come out of that for me, something that I'd not really considered before, people using, e-readers, and something that's really helped me to reflect on my work.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is a helpful activity. And arguably an activity you should be asking of anything you're putting out there, right? Yeah. What's the purpose of it? But despite it being a legal obligation in many cases, most cases, certainly for public bodies such as universities, it's really easy to get away with not doing, and that's a problem. So there's two sides to that. One is we need to make it easier for people to do some of this stuff and make some of the administration go away. But also we need to raise the awareness of actually there is an obligation on you as a tutor, on you as some support staff, as you as or us as EE to actually do that work. And sometimes it is work. There's no two ways around it, but it's critical for many students, and I think we can do better. So I look forward to seeing how that goes this year, and we're hoping to work with student connectors on that as well and have students directly involved in the development of that over the year.
We always talk about AI, not just in this podcast/blog, but generally around the office and in our meetings. And in fact, we've already talked about it so far in this conversation, but let's talk about it a little bit more. How do you see, or where do you see AI technology going this year, and how do you think it's going to affect education or further affect education?
Yeah, big questions that I'm not sure we'll get to the bottom of on here. In short, I think what will happen over the next year, certainly for us, is the conversations will shift from this is terrifying and must be stopped at all costs to, all right, how do we work with this? Or how do we have a good conversation about this with our students? What are the right words to be saying? What's the right attitude to take towards it? What should I be scared of? What should I be worried about? What should I look for? These are all difficult questions, but we know from speaking to colleagues across the university, you've got some that are flying with this, absolutely running away. They're well versed with it. Some of them create it. They're experts. Sussex has a rich history in artificial intelligence broadly, but when it comes to generative artificial intelligence for teaching and learning, there are some absolutely flying with developing their own tools or using existing tools, and others are like, I'm terrified of this, so I'm just completely shutting it out, and it's a hard no, you're not allowed to use it, and so on. So there's a real spectrum there. But I think whilst the spectrum itself not necessarily narrow, the ability to have an informed conversation across that will. So there'll be a more consistent understanding of where students stand in that. What's, you know, how helping them have a more informed conversation around it, helping them understand best practice, maintain academic integrity, not fall foul of academic misconduct either purposefully or accidentally, which is easy to do in some cases. So I think that's what will change. We'll be able to have better conversations as a sort of common language starts to get understood. And I think our role in that over the year will be creating that forum and helping colleagues, which is what we've always done with any technology, really, whether that's come in, whether it was Canvas, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. There were some difficult conversations. People didn't like it at the time, but our job was to sort of go, well, this is what we've got, this is how we work with it, and this is how we're going to help make your lives easier where we can, and we're going to support you and train you and, yeah, go back to what we do. AI, in that respect, is no different, other than its potential for changing how we think about education is probably more significant.
Any final thoughts or words of wisdom?
Yeah. I think when we're bogged down in day-to-day admin, like assessment administration or something like that, it's not the most exciting part of the job. You know, maybe for some people it is, and that's fine. But it's really easy to forget that actually this job can be really fun. We can do a lot of fun stuff. And certainly in our team, you know, with Katie recently getting, or part of the team, getting the Kate Award for their Playful Learning conference, I think demonstrates certainly within EE the capacity for just enjoying what we do. And it's really easy to forget that sometimes and take a step back from the day-to-day and go, actually, let's find some fun again. So I really hope that we get space to do that this year. And whether that comes from our individual LTs sort of doing their own personal professional development. I know some of them particularly interested in sort of video games in teaching and learning, for example. Others obviously interested in AI, others in playful learning. But I think that ability to find the fun in what we do again, not necessarily that we've lost it, but I think it's easy to forget sometimes that it's okay just to have a load of fun and sit and, you know, just play with stuff. You know, that's what a learning technologist does best, I think.
Thank you, Dan Axon, Learning Technologies Manager for Education Enhancement. If you would like to get in touch with Dan, feel free to comment on this post or email ee@sussex.ac.uk. Thank you.
Thank you.
This was AI, Accessibility and Achievement in conversation with Dan Axon, published on the 3rd of October, 2024, and produced by me, Simon Overton. Please visit blogs.sussex.ac.uk/TEL